we go.
Okay. All right. So we have been going over peace. So at the beginning of the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. And so all of these, we have all of these attributes when we, at the time of salvation, the Lord and the Holy Spirit give us these attributes. But it's how we use them, how we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life, allows these to come out and to grow and to be able to minister to others and to just influence our life, is the closer we are to the Lord and the closer we spend time in His Word and we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Love is the first one. It's the first one for a reason. Everything stems from that. Not only God's love for us, but the love we have for others in sharing with others, our faith. And all of these other attributes come from love. If you have love for others and love for the Lord, then you will have joy. You will have peace. You will know how to be long-suffering. All of these things, but love is the ultimate one that we need to have in our lives, especially so that we can continue, you know, living our lives for the Lord, but also to just have the rest of them. So love was the first one that we went over, and then joy, and we talked how joy was not based on our emotions. Joy is not based on circumstances. Joy is from within, and even though our lives may seem like they're not going well, we have circumstances in our lives that are difficult, we're going through a trial, the joy that comes from the Lord and knowing that He's your Savior, that brings an inner joy that regardless of circumstances, you still have that joy. It's not based on what's going on in my life, and it's not happiness. Happiness is something that's based on a circumstance or what you're going through. Joy is different. It's an inner calm. It's an inner, you know that the Lord's working in your life, and you know that He's always there for you, and He's in control, and He's the one that knows the path ahead of us that we walk. And so that joy can come even in when there's trials. You can have this joy and this calmness. And then we moved on to peace. And that's where we've been for the last few weeks. We've been, and peace is, as humans, we can't give over our worry and our fear and our anxiety. We can't get rid of those. They're going to be there. We can't stop wanting to take the control back from the Lord. But having a peace and knowing that I have help, I'm not alone in my walk with the Lord. I'm not alone in living my life here on this earth. I have someone that's always there for me. The Lord says, I will never leave thee or nor forsake thee. I will always be with you. I know what's, He's always, it's like walking on a trail and you don't know what's around the next bend. You don't know if there's a wild animal. You don't know if there's a rock. You don't know if there's no road anymore. You don't know what's around the next bend in your life, but the Lord does. He's always walking ahead of us. He's walking right beside us. He's always there with us. So as we go on our life, on our life's journey with the Lord, we know that even though I may stray and I may turn around on the path and I may stop and I may be anxious about what's, you know, coming up in my life, I know that He's always there for me, and I can go to His Word, and I can read His Word, and I can gain strength from that, and that gives a peace in our in that. Yes, I may worry at times, and I may not rely on Him like I should, but I have the answers. His Word gives me those answers and the assurance that I know that I have accepted Him as my Savior, and I know that from the verses that we're going to go over today, that I don't have to give in to worry. I don't have to give in to those feelings of what now, what am I going to do next, you know, what's going to happen. I don't have to give in to those. I don't have to let them consume my life. And so let's go. We're on page 56, question 12, and we're going to go to Matthew. So Sharon, can you Gloria, can you go in the sanctuary and grab me a couple of the church Bibles off like the back pews, please? I'd appreciate it. Thank you. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 30. And the Lord's going to give us some in most of the most, if you have a red letter edition Bible, this is God speaking. The red letters means this is the Lord actually speaking to us. And so he's telling us how to.
What chapter?
Chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6.
Okay.
Oh, good. Okay, so can you pass those down to them?
And verse 30, right?
25 to 30. We're going to be in 25 first. Oh, good. Okay. So Matthew, okay, so the question says, someone has determined that only 8% of the things we worry about ever happen. That's a very small number. And we worry over a lot of things. So what are we saying to God when we worry? Exactly. You can't handle it. You're not in control. I know better. And it's like, how we don't. Yeah, I'm not fully trusting you. And it's like, He's God. He made everything. He knows everything. He's everywhere. God is. And it's like, how on our little finite little brains that we think that we know better or we have a better answer, so that we think that He doesn't care for us anymore, or you know, all of those things. So in Matthew chapter 6 verse 25 it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So, right here we see that the birds, the flowers, creation itself, God looks out for even them. The birds don't have to, you know, the birds always have something to eat. God made sure that there are worms and there are bugs and there's all these things that the birds eat, and the flowers, they come up and they're beautiful, and they do that not by themselves, because God has caused that to happen, but you plant a seed in the ground, but there's wildflowers. It's like nobody planted seeds for those. They just grow, and they know what to do, and they're beautiful, and God takes care of them, and they're always there for our enjoyment. But when we worry about things, we're saying that, God, you can take care of other stuff, but you can't take care of me. Huh. And that's it. And for women, because of our emotional nature and our emotional makeup, we struggle with this the most. Yes, men have other concerns. Men have different types of worry levels that they go through. But we as women tend to put more on ourselves than, you know, we worry about, does my hair look good? You know, am I dressed nice? You know, is somebody going to say something about what I'm wearing? It's not a worry, but it's a thought. It's something that we put upon ourselves that we obsess over. You know, what is somebody going to think if I wear this? Or what is somebody going to do if I, if I cut my hair? Or, you know, if I change the color of it? Or if I, you know, it's like, and then we doubt when we do something. You know, it's like you buy something. It's like, oh, you think that looks nice. And then you wear it and nobody says anything. You know, nobody says, you know, that looks nice or that doesn't look nice. And you're thinking,
Does it,
you know, but it's true. We do this to ourselves. It's hysterical when you think about it, because what difference does it make? You know, it's like we all have come to church and we all have clothes on. Praise the Lord. We, you know, it's like everybody's dressed, everybody has stuff on, and it's like, you know, we shouldn't, you know, be concerned about, you know, some of these things that, as women and our emotional makeup, we tend to, you know, let these little things interrupt our lives, and it will upset the peace that we have be less.
But the thing that is, some of those things, those worries that you're talking about,
right,
as we grow older, we let them go.
Exactly, we do.
We don't. Because I find as I grow older, or the fact that I'm sick now.
Right.
Those are things that don't concern me.
It's not so evident as you see in younger people. You know, it's like, you know, when we, that dreaded era of high school, you know, where everybody hated it's like you might have enjoyed high school for the learning aspect of it, but all the other drama was, you know, it's like, why do we, yeah, but a lot of it carries over in as you're younger, and you know, it's like, am I a good parent? Am I, you know, do I do this well enough? Am I a better, you know, oh man, she cooks really well. And, you know, it's like, I don't cook as well, you know. And it's like all these things that we put on ourselves that are anxious thoughts that we don't have to have. And so, but the Lord says, don't worry about those the little things.
Is she all right?
Yeah, I think she's just tired. Dana, you okay?
She's breathing.
Okay, yeah, she's breathing. I think she's asleep. Okay, so.
It used to be, when I was a kid, my mom used to say, I'm so worried.
Exactly, but what, you know, what is it necessarily?
She used to say that about herself.
Right, but
and it carried on to me.
Oh, okay, so then, and that's true. We can portray that out to our family. If you're always worried and anxious, and you don't know, you know, like the next step, even in a sense, to what's going to go on in your life, it transfers. You portray that, it kind of oozes out of you, and you portray that out to other
then
people.
And I don't know how to get rid of it on myself.
That's what we're learning.
That it all has to do with our faith and our trust in the Lord. Because does he say that he's going to take care of you?
Yes.
Exactly. So that you can hold on to. All right. So then sometimes we feel if God has forgotten us and we have no one to help us. But does Matthew 10, so we're still in Matthew, so go to chapter 10. Yep, verse 29 through 31.
What, chapter 10?
Yeah, chapter 10, Matthew 10, 29 to 31. It says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear you not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." Okay, so he knows intimately everything about us. God knows how many hairs are on your head. And we lose hair all the time. And God still knows everything about us. He made us. He knows you intimately. He wants to be your closest confidant, your closest friend. And he knows every detail about your life. And down here in this question 14, it says that Max Factor, this cosmetic company, once hired a person to count the number of hairs on a lady's head. There were 135,168. But that was just that one person. You know, it's like some people have thick hair, some people have thin hair. You know, so it all varies. But what he wants us to know, and what the lady that did the book is trying to get us to understand, is that everything, we're not to be flippant about, okay, well, I'm not going to worry about anything and just let everything, you know, just, whatever happens. That's not quite the concept that we're trying to get at. It's more when I'm anxious, when I'm concerned about something, the first and foremost thing I need to do is I need to pray, and I need to ask the Lord for the strength to get through whatever it is that he has for me. If it's a trial, if it's just a circumstance that I'm not sure how to handle, he can give me the strength for that. He can give me the wisdom for that. He can give me a verse to help me through that. He can give me somebody that I can... There's always someone that you know in your life that's a little older than you, or they're a little more spiritual than you, or they've been saved longer than you have. There's always somebody that the Lord can impress on your heart that go share this with them. That's a big thing that we as women tend to not do, is share with others. We hold all of these things, you know, we may share them with our spouses, but they don't understand us as well as another woman that has the same emotional makeup. We can share things as women that our husbands just, they kind of look at us and go, okay, but why are you so concerned about that? You know, why is this such a, you know, a big deal? Where as a woman, we can laugh about these things, these issues that we have, or these, you know, circumstances that we go through, or, you know, we can laugh it off, but we can also help each other and be an encouragement, because it's like, yes, I remember going through that situation. Or, you know, it's like, I remember that, you know, this was an issue for me. And we have some help. So don't ever feel like you're alone in anything that you're going through. There's always somebody here that wants to help, wants to share with you, wants to pray with you. But more importantly, the Lord is always there. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to abandon us when, you know, our situations, you know, he allows things in our lives for a reason. Nothing is a nothing is done as a coincidence. I don't like that, coincidence, because God is all-knowing. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's coming down the road. We don't. So we think, oh, wow, you know, how did I get in this situation? But the Lord's always there to help us, to encourage us. And if we just allow Him to work in our lives, then the peace that we need that comes strictly from the Lord, we can have that. 15, Philippians. We're going to Philippians next. Yep. Can't find it. It's over here. Yes, after Galatians and Ephesians. Philippians chapter 4.
No, that's Galatians.
Yeah, it's after Galatians is Philippians.
Yeah.
Chapter 4.
I'm learning my Bible slowly.
There you go, Kathy. You're getting there. You're doing a good job. I'm proud of you. Okay, we're going to... Chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, be careful for nothing. Careful means anxious. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So here we basically have a roadmap of, he says, be anxious for nothing. Don't be fretful and anxious and obsess over things, because that's not going to make any difference. That's not going to help you. But in everything, down to the... And if it has to be until you get used to the fact of praying for everything, pray for the every little thing, every tiny thing.
Every detail.
Every detail. Pray about it, because it makes praying for the big things easier when you pray for the little things. You know, it's like... We lived in Italy, and the traffic was horrendous. And everywhere you went, you had to, like, fight for a parking space. There was never enough. So we got in the habit of, every time we were going to go into town or go down to the base, we started praying, and the kids loved it. We started praying for a parking space, that we would have a good parking space, and we didn't have to walk with little kids and strollers and everything else. We didn't have to walk too far when we went shopping. So the kids thought it was the best thing ever. And we get in the car, where are we going? And we tell them, okay, let's pray for a parking space. And they'd all sit there in the back seat, and they'd all pray for a parking space. But we made light of it, but we always got a good parking space. It was just... And my kids thought that was like the coolest thing. So then that encouraged them to pray about, you know, a test, or pray about, you know, I have to, you know, learn something in school. And it's like, Lord, you gave us a parking. And my daughter would be, Lord, you gave us a parking space. Please help me get a good grade on my test. You know, but as children, their faith is evident. You can see it. And we can be like that. He says, be like a little child in your faith. Be encouraged in asking the Lord. So in this chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it says, we must not what? It says, we must not worry. Okay, so that goes in that blank. Then it says, we must, what must we do after that? By prayer. We must pray. But when we pray, we must also
give thanks
with thanksgiving. We need to be thankful for the negative things in our lives, and we need to be thankful for the things that He does for us. So when you're praying, Lord, and I thank You for what You're going to do through this circumstance. I thank You, Lord, that You're going to help us. Or once it happens, Lord, I'm so thankful and grateful, and You looked out for us today. Or, you know, there was a close call in the traffic. Oh, thank You, Lord, for being there. But be mindful. Be mindful of how you're, what's going on in your day. And make sure that not only are you praising the Lord for who He is, but you're giving Him thanks for the little things that you see are evident in your life.
You think sometimes that some of those things that come are opportunities for you to remember to be thankful.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
Not necessarily that God is sending you trials and tribulations.
Right.
But that some of the things that happen to you are an opportunity for you to make a choice as to what it is you're
exactly.
going to.
Exactly.
Are you going to remember to be thankful? Are you going to remember to pray?
Right.
Or are you just going to
go on?
Consequence.
Go.
No, what is that you said? You just
coincidence.
Coincidence.
Oh, well, that was just a coincidence. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, that was, or, you know, there are times when you feel a prompting. You know, it's like all of a sudden I'm thinking about somebody specific, and it's like, why are they so evident on my heart? There's a reason. I either need to pray for them, well, especially I need to pray for them, but I could give them a call. You know, the Lord just, you know, impressed on my heart that I needed to call you. Well, they could be going through this major thing, major crisis, or they may have something wonderful to share with you, and they didn't think to call you, but you, the Lord prompted you to call them, and then you both get a blessing. It's just, and in our age now where we can text, and you don't have to, like, say, interrupt everything that you're doing at the moment, but you can send a quick text to someone praying for you. You know, haven't talked to you in a while, love you. You know, it's like my kids are scattered to the ends of the world, you know, so it's like I make sure that on a daily basis I send my daughter a text. I tell her I love her. I hope your day is good, you know, all of those kinds of things. And, you know, and sometimes she gets it before she goes to work, and sometimes because she doesn't have a reception where she works, so she'll get it, you know, later on at lunchtime or something when she turns on her phone. And you know, she'll send me a little love you too, mom, you know. And my son, I do his more with, because they're overseas, so him, I do a message on Facebook, you know, thinking about you guys, you know, love you. And because they're 15 hours ahead of us, you know, it's nighttime when it's daytime over here, and it's daytime over there when it's nighttime here. And so I never, half the time, I never know if he's awake or, you know, what his work schedule is. But every so often, I'll be sitting there at night and I'll send him a message and he answers me because he's at work. You know, it's, and, you know, and it's just little things like that. But all of a sudden I was thinking about him. So I just wanted to let him know that, well, we can do that with each other as well. You know, you can pick up the phone, or you can send a text, or when you see them here at church, if you haven't seen them in a while, or you just haven't had a chance to talk to someone, we come and we're busy and we have things that we're involved in that we have to do. And then all of a sudden, you know, church is over and you haven't actually got to talk to someone. And, you know, so the next time you see them, just say, how are you? I missed you last week. I didn't get a chance to talk to you. You know, how are you doing? Just like we've been learning from the beginning of this book, it's not about me. I need to get out of me. And I need to think about everybody else. And the more I think of others, the better I feel, because it's not all inward. It's not all about me. And I'm not being consumed about what I'm thinking about, because I'm concerned about Kathy's not feeling well, or Carol's got to have surgery here in a little while. It's like, well, I can be thankful that she's going to have the surgery so she's going to be feeling better, but I can also be thankful that I'm not having surgery. You know, it's like, but it's not about me and what I, you know, what the more you think about other people, the less you tend to internalize all the things that you think are going wrong in your life. And so the more we get out of, you know, ourselves and think about other people, then, and speaking of other people, that's our next little section, having peace with others. Okay, so there's a peace that comes from knowing the Lord and being close to Him, but there's also an aspect of this peace that kind of consumes our life, is if we don't have peace, if we're on the outs or we have a conflict with someone else and there's not a connection anymore, or you know, it's like you were such good friends and you know you did everything together and you always talked to each other, and then all of a sudden there's a difference, something's not right. And that's, we need to kind of examine those aspects in our lives too. It's like, what was said? You know, did I say something to them? Or is it just the circumstances of our lives, because we're busy, that we've neglected our friends? We've neglected sharing with other people. And so there can be kind of a divide. There can be something that kind of separates us. So peace with others, there she's saying, is it doesn't have to be defined. We know what that means. What we do need to know is how we can practice this, or having peace with others. If you don't have peace with God and the peace of God ruling in your hearts, it's doubtful you'll experience much peace in the relationships with others. Okay, so is peace with others an option or a command?
Commanded.
Yes, it is. And we've had several verses that will tell us exactly. So it says, why does it matter how we get along with other people? There's an answer. So the first one is Mark. So Mark is back by Matthew. Right after Matthew is Mark.
Mark
chapter 9. To go back to Matthew, and the next book after that is Mark, chapter 9. And chapter 9 is a long verse, and it's the last verse, verse 50. Okay? So, this is Jesus speaking again. It says, Mark chapter 9, verse 50. Chapter 9 is a long chapter. Yeah, Mark chapter 9. She's like, I can't get the page to turn right.
Okay, it's right here. There you go. 9:50.
Okay. Okay, so it says, salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltiness, wherewith will we season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Okay, so there the Lord tells us that, okay, salt is used as a preservative. Salt in Bible times was, they had to use salt to keep things. You salted your food and you preserved it, and you know, the pioneers did the same thing because they didn't have, you know, so salt is a good thing, but when salt has lost its usefulness, it doesn't work anymore. So it's like that with us. It's like when we have control over our emotions, when we're peaceable with others, then our salt in situations, and we're being like salt, and we're preserving relationships. And but if we're not working well, and we're not, you know, managing our relationships well, then we're not being the salt that we need to be. And God says, but we're supposed to be have peace one with another. All right, so then let's see what Romans says. Now we're going to go back to Romans chapter 12. 5 minutes. Thank you, Rodney.
And once you read all of these verses,
uh-huh.
They all lead you to the point that God commands.
Exactly.
Romans what?
Romans 12:18. It says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Okay, so there it is. There's another one. That's another command. And then let's read 1 Thessalonians real quick so that we can... We're going to be just about done. Thessalonians is after Timothy. No, it's before Timothy. What am I doing? It's like that's the wrong direction. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 5:13. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. It's a command. We're to be so okay, so this is a command. Over and over again, the Lord says we're to be peaceable with others. We're to have peace with others. We're supposed to be peacemakers. We're supposed to... When there are conflicts, not only in our home, but in our work, and we're the ones that should be the ones that are trying to strive to resolve issues, to have peace. But if we're the ones that have a calm and we know that the Lord is working in our lives, then there's a peace that about us that will be calming in our workplace, that will be calming in our home, and that helps us to have peace with others and to live peaceably with others. But it all stems from the main thing that we all have to have is a relationship with the Lord. And we can't strive that enough, that it's not only is the fruit of the Spirit a gift from the Lord, but He is a gift. Christ died on the cross for us. He is giving us that gift of eternal life. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to know His peace and His love and His joy and all of the comforts that come from His word and just knowing Him in our life and knowing that, I mean, having a home in heaven is the best thing, but all the attributes, all the things that we get down here to live our life and to have joy and all of these wonderful things is such a blessing. So if that is something that you're interested in, that you aren't sure about, talk to one of us. We're always eager to let you know how much the Lord loves you. And we have to stop because we've been given our 5-minute notice. So, ladies, we're almost done with this chapter. I was so hoping we were going to get done, but we have a few more. We'll finish it up next week, and then we'll start on our new chapter, which is long-suffering, which is the hardest one of all. You thought love was hard? No, yes, just wait till... Love is not. Yeah, well, but long suffering goes along with that.
Well, they should have been right next to
you. Yeah, they should, but God didn't put them in that order.
God, no, yes. Yes.
All right. Stop.